we've got to hurry. We're a little bit later. Thank you for being patient. But Friend Day is a big deal. Okay, it has been, you know, you know it. We could go over all the stories and so forth, but it's been a great evangelistic tool. The verses there in Lamentations, for sake of time, I'm not going to read them all. You can read them. I'll give you the story behind this. Jeremiah is looking at Jerusalem, the city, after the Babylonians had come and taken, and really tore the city apart, destroyed the walls, took most of the people captive, killed a bunch of people. And so basically they left what they considered the poor of the land, the ones that they would not take back captives, the one they didn't kill, and like, have at it, have a good time. And as he is walking and looking at the city, he's looking at the destruction. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he doesn't just see the destruction, he really sees it. And he sees the meaning behind it. And he sees the lives that it has hurt. He sees all the turmoil and all the trouble. And then he makes a statement, if you'll look in verse number 12. He says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. What he is saying is, he's looking around and he's seeing all the destruction, and it doesn't bother anybody except for him. And he says, "What is this not a big deal to you? Don't you understand that why we are here? Because of our disobedience to God. Don't you understand the destruction to the families, to the children?" If you read the whole book of Lamentations, that's what it's about. And Jeremiah was just dumbfounded that people could actually see the destruction. It didn't bother them at all. They're like, you know, they're just trying to live. And I understand. They're trying to live their lives. They're trying to get it back together. But do they see the spiritual and physical destruction? They didn't. God wants us to see in our society, in our time, that type of thing also. If we're going to have the kind of response, correct? Look, we see people all the time like, "Oh, that's just a person that's down. That's just a person that they're there because of drugs and all that." And I understand all that. But can I just tell you something? Whatever happened to compassion? Whatever happened to caring? Whatever happened to you know, "I'm too busy for that"? We shouldn't be. The key is the heart. I think it's in your notes. If we have an open heart to the will of God and the mind of God, we see things the way that God does. And by the way, we need to see the things the way God does. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. These are the verses we're going to look at. It says, "And Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, we live in an area of multitudes. Is it just me, or are the freeways getting worse? I mean, I get it. You know, when you're coming home from work Monday through Friday, that it's on Saturdays now. I'm going to be honest. I don't like traffic. Now, being a local, when I go on the 405, I know the out routes. You know what I'm saying? Go through the Lakewood off ramp, and then you cut through. Go through the Bellflower off ramp, and you can cut through. When I get to my house, the traffic's really bad. I don't get off on Studebaker. I take that little offlet. It's kind of a little fast track. You go down all the way to Palo Verde, then you can go to there, take a left on Stearns, get back on the freeway, and it takes you to the next off ramp without getting on the freeway. Okay? I don't like traffic, and and we get irritated. You know, lines for everything. We made the mistake several years ago. We had talked about going to Arizona for a few days on Christmas break, and then when push came to shove, it's like, "I don't want to go." Okay, the kids, most of my kids were at camp. The older was like, "Why don't we just go to Disneyland for the day?" And the Amaya's got us tickets, and I'm like, "I'd rather do that. That's one day. It's over with. It's all good." No, you don't go to Disneyland during Christmas vacation. There were lines just to walk through the park. I'm not talking about to get on the dumb rides. Now, praise God, they had a Starbucks. I went there about five times, like, listen, let me just get a little off-ramp here. But it's but can I just tell you the blessing of being in a crowded city? There's people everywhere that need Jesus. There are. There are. Look, you don't have to go anywhere. Just step out. There's people that need the Lord everywhere. How do we look at the multitudes? Jesus, here, like Jeremiah, he saw the multitudes, and he did not see them like most people saw them. When he saw the multitudes, the Bible says he was moved with compassion on them. Now, I want us, in the couple minutes we have, to have that heart. I want us to see people correctly. By the way, when we look at somebody that doesn't know the Lord, we don't look down on them in a snotty way, because you were like that too. Okay? And I know y'all are dressed up here and you're looking good. This is the Thursday night crowd. But I knew you when you first came in. You weren't all dressed up. Okay? Everything wasn't together for a lot of us. When I walked into church, it's like, you know, I'm glad they accepted me as I was. And so we have to see people correctly. When we see the crowd and we see it correctly, it'll do two things for us. Number one, we'll gain compassion. But when he saw the multitudes, he was irritated. No, he was moved with compassion on them. Now, compassion is not just I feel for you. That doesn't help anybody, okay? Compassion isn't like that. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. You know, it's different than sympathy. Sympathy is, I feel bad for you. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that happen. Bummer. I feel really bad. Empathy is, I feel bad with you. Many years ago, we went to a youth conference in North Valley. Many years ago, we took a big group, and this was in the early days of the internet, and we came down here, and we stayed in one of the hotels they put us in, and they were trying to charge one of our girls like $200 for internet service. That's back when it was real expensive. She goes, we weren't even on the internet, and she was crying, and it's like, it's not a big deal. We'll go talk to the, we'll take care of it. You know how teenage girls are. Cry about everything. And one of the other girls came over and said, wait. She goes, stop crying. I'll cry for you. And she started crying. I'm like, do you know what you're crying about? No, but she's crying. I'm like, okay, it's girls. That's empathy. I'm just going to feel bad with you. You know what? Feeling bad with somebody or feeling bad for somebody doesn't help anybody. Compassion is when moves us to a pity that moves us to an action to help people. We have to have compassion. Why should we have compassion? Look at several reasons. Because these people suffered from, these people needed spiritual nutrition. Because they fainted. Now, it was a physical thing, but let's look at it from our standpoint. I don't care what kind of car people drive. I don't care where they live. I don't care what kind of house they have. I don't care about any of that, because that's not what makes you something. How are they doing spiritually? You know, you can go to hell. You can go to hell just as fast from a mansion as you can from a riverbed. Yep. Everybody needs the Lord. And these people were spiritually, they needed some spiritual nutrition. They were fainting, and people around us are fainting. Many people are spiritually confused. Many people mistake a knowledge of Jesus for thinking that they might actually get to heaven. I hardly ever talk to someone and say, whenever I witness to somebody, I always tell them, say, you know, you live in America here, you've heard about Jesus, right? Yeah, you know, Jesus, he came, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again, but they've never put it together. That's just facts. They don't understand, you know, for them to say Jesus died for our sins, they don't even know what that means. It has to be explained to them, okay? Many people mistake a knowledge of heaven with entrance to it. You believe in heaven. Yeah, well, if you believe in heaven, you believe in you. Are you going to go there? People have no idea. They need spiritual nutrition. That's where we come in. When we have compassion, we'll try to give it to them. You know, people need a spiritual family. It says, and they were scattered abroad. They were everywhere, all over the place. People are like that in our day. You know, we live in a crowded spot, but how many people that live in a metropolis, a big city like ours, are lonely in the midst of a crowd? One of the greatest blessings in my life as a Christian spiritually
is the church. I don't understand when people criticize church. Well, you don't need the church. I'll meet at home with four people. Have a good time. That's not scriptural, but you have a good time. We need a spiritual family. Well, I'm doing okay. Well, you need a spiritual family so you can help those who aren't doing okay. But all of us need it. And listen, there are Christians out there, and for whatever reason, they got disconnected, and they're not in a church, and they don't have a church family. Listen, they have an opportunity to find one this Sunday. Let's help them. Spiritual leadership. And sheep having no shepherd. When he says no shepherd, they don't have the right shepherd. They don't have a shepherd lead them in the right direction. Oh, people have people that they follow. Usually they follow what they're listening to on the radio, what they're watching on television, what they're learning in some godless school institution. But they don't have spiritual leadership. They don't have a shepherd who cares. A shepherd does not lead for his own benefit. A shepherd leads for the benefit of others. You don't find that in the world. So they need leadership. Number two, if we see them correctly, we will gauge the harvest. Jesus didn't just see the need, he saw the possibility. He saw the possibility. He talked of it as a harvest. What is a harvest? A harvest is when we go and we receive crops that are ready to be harvested. Well, you know, we just live in a dark age where no one wants to listen. That's a lie. I guarantee you, all you have to do is go out and try to witness to three people. That's all you gotta do. Three, four, five people, let's just say. We'll give it up to five. And I guarantee you someone will get saved. Yep. They're out there. Now, I get it. Someone's going to be, you know, I have people, hey, can I give you an invitation to church? And they don't even acknowledge me. Like, yeah, I'll keep it. You know, that's fine. But most people will take it. In fact, the matter is you stop and talk to a few people. Someone's going to listen. Okay? They're out there. There's a harvest. The more people there are, let's just play mathematician here. The more people that are going to be out there who will receive the gospel. Okay? So what do we learn about gauging the harvest? Well, first of all, letter A, there's plenty need help. The harvest truly is what? Plenteous. Well, we're just going to hold on until Jesus comes. Now, I get it. On vacation, we'll go to churches in small towns, and I feel there's just not a lot of people there. Okay? That's not our problem. They're everywhere. Well, there's a lot of churches, too. The majority of those churches don't even preach the gospel. And if they believe the gospel, they're afraid to get it out there. You know, they're following all the church growth principles. You know, we can get people in if we don't do this. Someone was telling me they talked to somebody at a church we were talking about, and the new pastor came in, and wasn't one of our type churches, and the guy's like, you know, we don't do the door-to-door and stuff. You know, we try to go out, we'll do something in the community, and maybe we can befriend somebody, and after meeting with them for a while, they'll come to church, and we can share the gospel. Listen, we don't have time for that. The gospel now. There's plenty of people to help. The harvest truly is plenteous. Jesus in John chapter 4 said, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say ye not, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because the disciples came back and said, why are you talking to that woman at the well? I mean, she's living with the guy, and she's had five husbands already. Because she needed Jesus. Those guys would have never talked to her. Yep. But Jesus knew it, and he spoke to her. Also, there are plenty need help. There are few to help. But the laborers are few. The problem's not with the harvest. It's ready. It's people to go out there and harvest. By the way, let me say this. The more people we reach, the more people there are to harvest. Okay, well, we're going to saturate this area. We couldn't saturate this area if we tried. And we've tried. People move at the drop of a hat. People are in and out. More people are, it's growing. We got three Baptist churches in our city. We never cross each other's path. Because there's a lot of people here. There's 500,000 just in Long Beach. That's it. I mean, look, you know, even I'm surprised when we're out, or we travel the country, or we're on vacation or something, we're driving to one of these big towns, it's like, there's nothing. You drive into the big town, and like 15 minutes later, you're out of it. That doesn't happen here. As soon as you pull out of those mountains over there on the 5, you can drive for almost 2 hours before, and you're still hitting cities down the coast of 150,000 people. They're everywhere. But let me just ask you this, and we'll move on. Are you part of the solution, or are you part of the problem? He's saying pray for laborers. Can I just tell you something? How can you pray for laborers if you're not willing to labor? Thank God we have a church that's willing to labor. This gospel thing, you say, well, that's just been something you've been harping on the last few months. No, I'm going to harp on it forever. Right. Yeah. We've always preached it, and we've just been a little more the last few months. So I'm not going to tell you what the theme is going to be next year, but it's coming. Come on. Okay? Come on. It's coming. There's few to help. And then there's a plan for help. He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest... Pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. That he would send forth laborers into his harvest, and then he'll provide new laborers. Think of it this way. Let's say we were in a war, and that we could, in this war, just go to talk to somebody on the other side and win them to our side. And then they're going to help us go win others to our side. Do you know that we're not in a war against people, but we are in a spiritual war with Satan? We're trying to invade his territory and take people out of his little dominion. We can steal people from his side to help us on our side. But we've got to be involved. The bottom line is this. The harvest is ready and waiting. What are you going to do about it? Now I know, and I don't know who you are, because I, in my mind, everybody helps. But I wonder if there's some in here that like, friend day, here we go for 5 weeks. How many contracts do you have? Let me just fasten my seatbelts and we'll be done with it after November 4th. Whew. Why don't you get involved? You say, man, you know, sometimes I'm just not really excited about church. Well, neither am I. No. You know why? I'll tell you what will make you excited. When you're involved with other people. Those of you that have friends coming, you're excited about Sunday. The rest of you, get excited because we need your help. But I think most of our people have gotten involved with this. Thank you for that. Well, let's have a great friend day. Let's realize there's a multitude out there that need the Lord. That's why we're doing what we do. Let's pray.